This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
You know how to get me, don't you? Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org, and he joins me every Tuesday afternoon, and has for some years now, to talk growth, development, and local politics. And today we're going to count down, Brian, the top 10 growth and development stories of 2009, and look forward to 2010. But before we do that, we're going to talk holidays and pie. And what is this picture you put in front of me? Is this your picture?
That's a picture I took at Christmas Eve when we had a gathering of the family up at Wintergreen.
Oh.
So that's a piece of pie from Lynchburg, Montana Plains Bakery. The funny thing about this, Coy, my brother-in-law said I went in to buy the pies because he knows I have to have pie.
Yeah.
And he picked out berry pie, which you're looking at, and he picked out a creme brulee pie, which we had Christmas Day, the next day.
Uh-huh.
But he went in and said, you know, I'm taking these up Charlottesville, and they're like, the strangest thing is happening. All these people from Charlottesville are coming into Montana Plains Bakery and buying pies. And he said, well, I think I know why that's happening.
The word is out.
The word is out.
Montana Plains in, and where is it again? In Lynchburg?
It's in Lynchburg. So if you go down there to Montana Plains, tell them.
Which is a very easy drive, we should say, as long as there's not 2 feet of snow on the ground.
Yeah.
29 South is it's pretty easy. You get there in less than an hour.
And you go down that nice road that has all the huge homes on the way to Randolph-Macon, whatever they call it now.
Yeah.
The old, you know, women's college.
Right, right.
But whatever that road is called, and I can't remember the name, it's got homes, you know, unlike anything in Charlottesville. We just don't have
really big palatial homes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Charlottesville had
all in one stretch. I mean, it's like taking Rugby Road, the parts of Rugby with the big homes.
Yeah.
And multiplying that by 20.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
But anyway.
I like Lynchburg. Lynchburg's a nice town.
My family had a good time talking about Montana Plains and the fact that everyone from Charlottesville is now coming down there to buy pie.
Was this pie good? The one I'm looking at, picture right here?
I took a picture of it. That's how good it was.
What are the berries in it? It's got cherry and blueberry.
It's got all sorts of berries.
Boysenberry.
So we had some pie. It was a good Christmas.
Huckleberry.
Good New Year.
I'm king of the berries.
Did you have any pie over the holiday?
I don't think I did. But not for lack of trying. We never could make it happen.
Pie is something you have to make happen.
I know. You have to make time for pie.
You do.
Charlottesville is the pie capital of Virginia.
We're trying to make it that way.
Indeed we are. So how were your holidays in terms of the gift giving? Was Santa good to you?
Santa
Did you get
came.
Something you really like?
Yeah. Got some new clothes. That's always what I need.
Clothes are always good. I tell you, when you pass like 24, 25, give me clothes.
That's right.
Yeah. Although I got a 1934 Smith Corona typewriter I was really excited about. I like that.
When I came to UVA, I had to lug the typewriter.
I took a typewriter with me to William & Mary.
Yep.
Yeah. So what did you get? What else you get?
Mostly clothes, I think.
Did y'all play any Wii?
We played a little bit of Wii. I did a little golf, some Tiger Woods golf action on the Wii. What about you? Did you get some new games?
Got a new Wii for Christmas, and I will tell you, we got some new games. We got the Mario Kart with the steering wheel.
Oh, yeah, we have that.
Brian, that is so much fun.
We can race you on the internet if you have Wi-Fi in your house.
I never hooked that up because I'm always afraid they're like getting into my things or something.
Just turn your life over, Coy. Let the internet and Google, you know, take over, because they are.
So you can actually...
You can play over the internet and race people.
So you're in your house with your little steering wheel,
right,
and we're looking at the same screen?
Absolutely.
That is too cool.
We'll do that.
Wow.
And then if you don't like it, you can turn it off.
That's amazing. Wow. So I also got this game called WALL-E. It's based on the movie WALL-E.
Yeah.
It is so
much
fun. The little robot guy, WALL-E, and Eva, his other little friend. I'm a big fan of that movie. It was a great movie. That should have won the Oscar for best movie, actually. The game is so much fun. It really is fun.
Now, Coy,
You don't have that?
Santa? No, we don't. Did Santa bring these games to you or to your kids?
To my kids, but then I I decided to play them while they weren't around.
Yeah.
We also got the new Harry Potter Wii game, but I haven't played that yet.
Yeah.
So we'll have to try that out. Brian Wheeler is live in studio. We're excited to have him here, and we're going to talk about the growth and development stories of 2009, the top stories counting down, and we're going to do that right after this.
Okay, where can you go for a great healthy dinner for two for around $20? Someplace that uses fresh, never frozen, out of the ordinary, but not out of the way, in the Townside Shopping Center, Ivy Road.
Get on your feet. It's 17 minutes after 5 o'clock, 32 degrees. I hope you're having a nice Tuesday afternoon. I'm Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. So where should we start with this list, Brian?
Let's start by just reflecting, Coy, that this is the fourth time we have done the top 10 countdown.
Get out.
On this show.
Get out. You and your pie, get out. Are
you
serious?
That's how long we've been in this business.
Really? Wow. That's really cool.
I went back and looked at the archives, and I could not produce a list like this without a lot of help from the folks back at Charlottesville Tomorrow. And certainly want to thank Sean Tubbs on our staff and our interns that we've had over the past year, because they spend a lot more time in meetings than I do, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And capturing these stories about what's going on in local government and growth and development in particular. And of course, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for having us on this show.
Well, thank you.
So there's plenty to talk about every
Happy
week.
New Year.
And as I reflected back through 2009, there were plenty of stories to talk about.
So let's we'll start with the top 10, number 10 on your list, the number 10 top story, Charlottesville Tomorrow story from 2000 and hold on a minute, from 2009. And that is,
well, Coy, I had to start with something that's precious to both you and I.
And I haven't seen this list before, so I'm looking
this
at it for the
first
time.
This is brand new to Coy. It is on our website.
This
and
is
you
great.
Can follow along at SeaVilleTomorrow.org if you want to follow along and comment on this.
This is good.
But we started with the first annual SeaVille Pie Festival.
Yeah, of course
that
you
was
did.
Held in Crozet, and I put that on there because, you know, we had to have a pie item. We had one last year,
right.
And this is important stuff. You know, it's there. We didn't
well,
have
pie,
on this,
Brian. Pie brings people together.
It does.
It's all about community.
It's all about community. It's all about our rural area and celebrating good food.
And we saw that in Crozet, man. There were people there from Northern Virginia and Virginia Beach who just drove to Charlottesville, or drove to Crozet that day.
And this is going to become the Virginia Pie Festival, I'm convinced. And that was Coy's idea.
Well, I'm not going to take credit for it. I'm just excited everybody wants to make it happen.
So, and in full disclosure, Coy and I were judges, and we hope to be lifetime judges at such events in the community.
Indeed.
All right. That's number 10.
That is number 10. Number 9, top Charlottesville Tomorrow growth and development story for 2009 is?
You know, this seems like it was forever ago, but it was the last session of the General Assembly. And you may remember, I'm sure you do, that Albemarle and Charlottesville were trying to get permission to have a referendum on whether we could raise a sales tax, have a sales tax increase to fund transportation. And the number 9 story is that the General Assembly said, no, that was not an option. You could not ask your voters if you wanted to raise, if they wanted their taxes raised. Couldn't even ask them the question.
I have scratched my head since then to try to figure out how that possibly represents good government. That Richmond tells Charlottesville and Albemarle, no, not that you can't raise taxes, you can't ask your voters what they think about the subject.
Right.
You're not allowed to have a referendum. It's not even the referendum wouldn't do anything. It wouldn't pass anything. It wouldn't create any law. It was a survey. No, you're not allowed to ask your voters what they think about this subject.
And since that happened, the funding issue for transportation in this community and all of Virginia has not gotten any better. This, of course, was around the Regional Transit Authority. City and county were trying to figure out ways to cooperate better. General Assembly said, if you want to fund it, it's not going to be through Richmond.
Yeah, very interesting. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can read all this online at SeaVilleTomorrow.org. We're counting down the top 10 growth and development stories of 2009 on to number 8 on the list. Number 8 is...
No surprise here, but the fact that, you know, we're in this economic downturn and new housing, retail developments, they're continuing to be held up. So projects that have been approved just are not getting built.
Yeah.
They're not getting built because of the market.
That is a huge
story. Because
of
the economic downturn, and also still because of the lack of adequate public infrastructure. So when we have talked in this program about Albemarle Place, about the North Point development, two major developments in Albemarle County, they cannot connect to sewer today. So even if they wanted to be, even if the market would allow them to be built, they can't be connected to a sewer system at the moment until some major upgrades are done. Those are going to happen in 2010. So if the economy turns around, when it does, those projects will be able to move forward.
So this isn't just about a bad economy holding up development. It's about the lack of public monies to create the infrastructure that's necessary for development.
Not as much about the lack of monies, because these are projects that are funded in the capital budgets, but it's about the fact that they just haven't been built yet. Development was approved ahead of the infrastructure being in place to support it.
Yeah. And I often think about that. I mean, wasn't that question ever raised? Didn't staff ever report to the board, you know, as you had folks, you know, on the board saying, you know, let's do this. We're going to approve these homes. We're going to approve it. And I don't think they ever said no. Didn't staff ever say, well, wait a minute, we don't have sewers there, or we don't have the infrastructure for that. And
it was pointed out.
And so you answer my question.
It was pointed out.
And the supervisors just said, well, that's not my problem.
Well, I don't know that it was even acknowledged or discussed in any detail. It was certainly mentioned by staff in, you know, the staff reports that are written about these projects. But we're in a whole different era right now. And now new major developments like a Hollymead Town Center, the new parts of Hollymead Town Center, those developers are having to come to the table and say, here's how I'm going to pay for my share of the pipe. So there's a whole different conversation going on now because, I mean, quite frankly, the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, the Albemarle County Service Authority, and the City of Charlottesville have all been saying, we've got to look after the infrastructure. We have to make some investments to both repair existing stuff for people that already live here, but also have some expansion capacity to accommodate the growth that's going to happen.
Yeah. So, and I guess it is a philosophy of government. You can do it one of two ways. If you're a supervisor, you can say, I can't approve something unless I know the public infrastructure is there to support it. Or you could think the opposite. I don't care. I'm going to improve it because I think this is good and I'm going to approve it, and we'll let the infrastructure catch up to your development.
Well, again, the people that have been concerned about that infrastructure should take note that in new master plans, like the one done for the village of Urvana out of Glenmore, in that plan that's going to go in front of the board this year, are restrictions basically on growth. Growth will not happen until the road infrastructure, the sewer infrastructure are taken care
of. So it's becoming more explicit now.
It is.
By staff and the local governments are making that more of an issue.
Right. Because they've been
burned.
They've been burned.
Yeah,
burned.
And I imagine there's a lot of upset developers out there who say, wait a minute, you approved my mall.
Yep.
And you're not giving me any sewers.
That said, there are also members of the public upset that infrastructure like a public library has been promised, and now there's no money in the capital budget for Albemarle County to actually build it.
Yeah.
Or Jarman's Gap Road. The state has not been able to have enough money on the table to upgrade Jarman's Gap out in Crozet.
Yeah.
So those are examples of other infrastructure that was promised to accommodate new development.
And new development that by and large did move forward. I mean, all those new homes in the western part of the county, as they were getting approved, they told developers and the people moving in, we're going to get you new roads, we're going to do a library, we're going to take care of you. None of it done.
Well, keep in mind, out in Old Trail Village in Crozet, of the 2,100 or so homes that development was approved for, only about 200 have been built. So you're right. The development was approved. Old Trail Village is getting built, but a lot of those homes and people have not yet arrived.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, counting down the top 10 growth and development stories of 2009. And now, number 7 on the list is
the Charlottesville Downtown Mall renovations, the new bricks. And this was one that I put on my list as one to watch for last year, because there was a lot of question whether the project would get done on time, whether it would come in on or under budget or over budget. And the good news for the city of Charlottesville and everyone who enjoys the downtown mall is that the project went very smoothly, and the city did a good job managing that and the contractor who worked on it. So it was completed under budget and mostly on schedule. So I think that's a real success story.
And that doesn't always happen, does it?
It does not. And, you know, that was a project that was very important to be done well for the downtown business community.
Oh, absolutely. It's a showpiece for the city. It's the heart of the city.
difficult time for the downtown business community right now. There are a lot of empty storefronts on the downtown mall.
Yeah. And there's a lot of empty office space down there.
The timing of this project was probably tough.
So who was the company that did that? Because we should sing their praises.
I think it was Barton Mallow.
Was it Barton Mallow?
Yeah.
Oh, man. They're the same ones that did the John Paul Jones
Arena.
That's right. They're very good at what they do.
Yep.
Let's take a break here at the bottom of the hour. Do you want to do one more? Let's hold that one until after the break. We have six left to count down on this list of the top 10 growth and development stories for 2009. And then we'll hear Brian's predictions for what may be the top 10 stories for 2010. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070, WINA. Thirty-six minutes after 5 o'clock, it's 32 degrees on this Tuesday. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
Hello, my friend, we'll meet again. It's been a while, where should we begin?
My name is Coy Barefoot. We do this every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 with the guarantee that you get home smarter. This is local talk, local issues. This is local radio at its very best. Brian Wheeler joins us every Tuesday afternoon. We talk growth and development, and today is a special day. We're counting down the top 10 growth and development stories of 2009. And just a quick review, number 10 was the first annual Charlottesville-Seaville Pie Fest in Crozet, which we hope will become the Virginia Pie Festival. Number 9 was the Virginia General Assembly blocking a local sales tax voter referendum. Number 8 was the major new housing and retail developments continuing to be held up either by market forces or a lack of adequate public infrastructure. Number 7 was the renovations to the downtown mall. And now, Brian Wheeler brings us number 6.
Coy, I have not been writing very much about solid waste issues in 2009, but at the end of the year, I found myself having to do that, and it's becoming a big story. So the number 6 item is the Peter Vanderlinde lawsuit and his recycling facility and everything the city and county are now having to do with respect to solid waste and recycling.
That could not be on the list. That had to be on the list.
Recycling.
Yeah, it had to be on the list because that is huge. And that story, I think, We'll wait for your predictions of 2010, but I think that's only going to be a bigger story this year than it even was last year.
I think I left that off my predictions, but I do agree with you. I think that's a big story. Certainly, The Hook deserves a lot of credit for its reporting.
Yeah, Dave McNair's done a fantastic job
of that issue.
He's been on that story since the very beginning. And now, number 5.
Number 5 is the Places 29 Master Plan. Sure. Albemarle County does 20-year master plans for different parts of its urban growth area, and it bit off a lot when it said, let's do a 20-year plan for all of 29 North. Of course, a lot of cynics back when they said they were going to do that said, what's left to plan? You know, haven't you messed it up enough? And why are you going to spend any time on this? Others said, you know what? We have to plan its future. There's going to be redevelopment. Their major transportation needs. We need to figure out Western Bypass, Eastern Connector, grade-separated interchanges. What's the transportation solution for 29? The business community said, you know what? That's our main street in Albemarle County. We want to make sure our businesses are visible, easy to get to, and doing business. And so it's been quite a debate, and it's happened over the course of 2 or 3 years that they've been reviewing this master plan. The news last year was Albemarle County's Planning Commission voted 4-2 to recommend approval of the Places 29 Master Plan. That will go in front of the board in 2010.
Now, given the change in the politics of the board with the election of Dwayne Snow and Rodney Thomas, arguably now we're going to see a more Republican/conservative board. How do you think that's going to affect that their review and consideration of Places 29?
During the campaign, neither of those candidates said they were very excited about grade separation. That is the key transportation element in Places 29. And it's not just the hydraulic interchange, which we often talk about, but it's Rio, it's Airport Road, it's the roads in front of Hollymead Town Center, roads in front of Forest Lakes. Making it so that there aren't traffic lights there, but grade separated interchanges so that traffic on 29 can keep on flowing.
And go underneath a bridge,
right,
basically.
Right.
And put those cross streets over 29.
So that is
which I personally, and I've said this for years, I personally think long term, 20, 30, 40 years out, that's inevitable. I don't see how that's not inevitable.
One of the reasons that survived in the plan is the data. The data shows that it's only about 12% of the traffic on 29 that's really trying to bypass Charlottesville entirely and keep on going south on 29. So most of the traffic here is local, and what Places 29 is trying to do is address the local transportation problem. Grade separation is a key element of that. You ask, what else is this new board going to do? And as it was being approved by the Planning Commission last year, Wendell Wood, a major developer in town, was in front of them saying he wanted, as part of the plan, to have growth area expansion be on the table. The Planning Commission said no. I think this new Board of Supervisors will embrace that concept and at least put it on the table for some serious discussion.
Yeah. So Wendell Wood's rural land is worth a lot more then, worth quite a lot more if the county decides, this new conservative board decides to move his rural land and change it into growth land.
And he's got that land in a number of different places that all have interesting things going on with them. One of them is near between Hollymead Town Center, which he developed, and the Sam's Club and the DoubleTree Hotel. There's a stretch of rural land, so it's not intended for development today. He would like that to be able to be developed, and he said in exchange, I'll help you build the bridge over the Ravanna River that'll be needed to extend Berkmar Drive. So that's a place where there's a key infrastructure need. Everyone, as part of Places 29, another key element are these parallel roads, Hillsdale Drive on the east, Berkmar Drive on the west, giving other outlets for traffic, so you don't need to get on 29 as much. The challenge, of course, is how do we pay for those things?
Yeah.
Wendell Wood is...
How do you pay for those? And how would you pay for those overpasses as well? I mean, the money's not there for those either.
He's also got a lot of land around the National Ground Intelligence Center. That issue has still not been resolved. You remember the whole discussion about the land swap? That land that he wanted moved into the growth area has never been moved in yet.
Yeah.
I expect that'll come up as well.
And Wendell Wood, doesn't he have a big, beautiful new house up on Carter's Mountain?
I have not heard story on
that. It looks like a school or something up there. It's a huge mansion.
There's a big building up there. I don't know the full story.
Interesting. Well, you'll have to look into that. Number four.
Yes. Number four is the Community Water Supply Plan. It's been on our list, I think, every year we've talked about this, Coy.
Water supply. Now, what is this about? I haven't heard of this.
What are we talking about? You know, and it's probably going to be on next year's list, too. This is a story that keeps on going.
It's interesting that this isn't the number one story.
Well, I mean, I think some other things, because key decisions really were not made this year. Next year, or this year, 2010, I expect some decisions will be made about what are the next steps. But remember, back in 2006... the community, the city and the county unanimously voted the two elected bodies to support a 50-year community water supply plan. Ever since, though, there's been questions about ways we could do it better or do it at lower cost. And I think the story in 2009 was those questions being asked and new studies being requested, primarily at the insistence of Charlottesville City Council. So studies that are underway right now include a study of dredging of the South Fork Ravanna Reservoir, a study of the design of the pipeline that would connect South Fork with Ragged Mountain.
Yeah.
And the reason you need a pipeline is because the other part of this plan is building a new dam at Ragged Mountain.
Yeah, doesn't work without the pipeline.
You have a bigger bathtub there. You need a way to fill it with water. And that the next study underway is, what's the design of that dam going to be? How much is it going to cost? In 2009, we didn't get those answers. If we had, that would have bumped this story up. I think 2010 is going to be about answering some of those questions and the community deciding where to go next.
Was it 2009 that Kevin Lynch and Rob, and they came forward and said, you know, we had three former city councilors come forward and say, knowing what I know now, I would not have supported that. And all three of them said, we weren't given all the facts when we were asked to make this decision. And now that we know a great deal more about this issue, there's no way we would have voted to support this.
Well, they started being very vocal in 2008, so that's going back 2 years.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why this story continues
to be on
our list.
Just gives and gives and gives, doesn't it? And now, number three, the top number three growth and development story of the year 2009.
is the city and county local elections. Elections for Charlottesville City Council and the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. Of course, both localities now are doing that every 2 years. They're both on the same cycle now. That didn't used to be the case. But now every 2 years in November, we have these elections, and this was a big year. In the city.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in the county.
Yep. We'll start with the city there. The Democrats maintain their control of city council. They've got all five seats. They reelected Dave Norris. Kristen Zekas joins council. She replaced a Democrat in Julian Taliaferro, who did not get nominated by the Democratic Party when they had their nomination contest. So in the city, you know, the Democrats stay in control. Interestingly, though, we had three independents running. One ran as a write-in, two were on the ballot, and Bob Fenwick's campaign as an independent was largely a referendum on the future of McIntyre Park and dredging for water supply needs. He was not successful in getting elected. Then in Albemarle County, we had Republican Rodney Thomas upset the incumbent chairman, Dave Slutsky of the Rio District. And in the open race to fill the Samuel Miller district seat, we had Republican Dwayne Snow defeating two opponents. One of them was Madison Cummings, former member of the Albemarle County School Board and widely known in the Samuel Miller district. But I think one of the things that happened, Coy, is that you had two people in Rodney Thomas and Dwayne Snow, both businessmen in the community, both born and raised in this community. And their name recognition and reputation in the community, I think, carried a lot of weight with voters.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
it'll be really interesting to see. And I think this story is well-placed as number three on your list, because these local elections in 2009, especially in the county, are going to have terrific repercussions. And if that's the right word, we will see how that shakes out this year when you have a completely new board now.
Local elections have consequences, and one of those will be in the news tomorrow when the Board of Supervisors has their first meeting of the year. They will be naming new members of the Albemarle County Planning Commission, new members of the Albemarle County Service Authority Board. So these new officials get to pick people that will fill those seats, and in that way, they're held accountable by the voters about the choices they make.
Going to be really interesting. And now number two on Charlottesville, tomorrow's top 10 growth and development stories of 2009.
The road that's been talked about for four decades, the Meadow Creek Parkway.
There it is.
Got underway. The bulldozers started rolling in Albemarle County. And some folks in the city were not too happy about that. They felt like, you know, it was premature, I think, in the words of the Sierra Club, to start construction of that part of the road until all the legal hurdles have been cleared on the southern part of the road in the city of Charlottesville.
Because what the county's doing, for folks who don't know, that's just going to go to Melbourne Road, and then you'll have a stop sign, right?
Right. Right there at the Charlottesville High School Stadium is where Albemarle County ends and the city of Charlottesville begins. And the city section of the road is largely through McIntyre Park. And then once you hit the 250 bypass, you need an interchange, grade-separated interchange in this case. And so the news for 2009, though, was most of the major decisions were made by Charlottesville City Council, where a majority of councilors are still in favor of the Meadow Creek Parkway. So by a 3-2 vote, the City Council conveyed property that they own in Albemarle County to allow the Albemarle County portion of the road to get going. In December, VDOT put out for bids the city's portion of the roadway called McIntyre Road Extended. And then in December, they also, City Council approved the preliminary design for that interchange. So those were the key votes that had to happen to determine whether this road goes forward or not. And I think, you interviewed Dave Norris in the previous segment, and he pointed out what I think will be a big issue in 2010, and that is, does a federal lawsuit somehow come into play here and stop the city's portion from being built? There are a number of activists who have studied this really hard.
They have a
for
case.
Many, many years.
Yeah, they do have a case.
And their basic case is that these three discrete projects, as viewed by VDOT in the city, should be combined into one thing, the Meadow Creek Parkway, and therefore you should look at the environmental consequences of the whole project and not just the discrete elements.
Yeah, and that it always has been, since the 60s, it has been one project. And only recently have the powers that be decided, oh, no, this isn't one big road. It's three separate projects so that they could figure out a way around some of the regulations. So,
and the project was in local courts in 2009. And it was that lawsuit failed at the local level. Yeah. So their next venue is really at the federal level with a different kind of lawsuit.
Going to be very, very interesting. And now the number one growth and development story of 2009 is
Biscuit Run.
Oh,
what was going to be.
It absolutely is a big story.
Think about how much time we spent on the air, Coy, talking about Biscuit Run.
Totally, yeah.
I got an email
from... Well, it's historic. It was going to be the biggest neighborhood in the history of Central Virginia.
That's right. Over 3,000 homes, and everything was big about that development. Big in the promises that the developer had to make with respect to funding of infrastructure, roads, schools, affordable housing. And there were
big in the vision as well, because they wanted to do a lot of out-of-the-box thinking, and they all went down to North Carolina or something and looked at some new developments.
That's right. I was a reporter that flew on a Learjet, or a Cessna Citation, I guess it was. I flew on a jet with Hunter Craig, the developer, and other local officials to look at a neighborhood in Chapel Hill. And the ideas were big around this development, and they were smart in how they approached it with the county, and it got approved quickly. And quickly for something this size.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was like 2 years start to finish. And the reason was they went and hired the company that did the neighborhood model for Albemarle County, Tortugalis. And that consulting firm came in and put together a Biscuit Run that was, you know, as neighborhood model friendly as what the county is looking for, as they could get. So I think it was... it was a development that the elected officials clearly liked because they voted for it unanimously. And I'll never forget that meeting because it started on one day and finished the next day as it went. We went through midnight waiting to get the vote on this. and then what we had develop in the course of the end of the year was, because of the market, because the developers you know, wanted to get out of this project and wanted to find in their mind a better public good. For that property, they said, you know what, let's talk to the state and see if we can figure something out here.
So Central Virginia gets a new state park right now, in our backyard.
And that's the news. We're going to have a new state park. And 1,200 acres was deeded over to the Commonwealth at the very close of business of the circuit court at the end of 2009. And I'd been watchdogging the courthouse for like a month, going there three times a day. And it all came down to the last half hour of business. Of 2009.
Let me ask you this, Brian, and I've read folks commenting on this on all the local blogs. It's great that we're getting out of their state, but some folks are saying this is just another example of the public bailing out rich guys who made bad financial decisions. And, you know, we did that with Wall Street and didn't really get much back, arguably nothing. They got their billions in bonuses on our money. At least here we're getting a state park, but they're certainly bailing themselves out quite a bit here. They're not going to get all their money back, but the banks that are involved and the private developers are getting the vast majority of their money back.
The developers say they're going to lose money. We'll never know probably the
I don't
true,
see how that's possible.
We'll never know the true bottom line assessment, I don't think. I don't think that'll become public. A key question is, what appraisal did they get on the property? Because that will impact their negotiating power on the state tax credits that they're trying to get. But Coy, I think, you know, the governor would say to you, you know what, as Governor Tim Kaine, I have a goal of 400,000 acres protected in the state of Virginia during my term. And this is a big chunk that, you know, we can put on the table to help accomplish that goal. The folks at the Department of Recreation in the state would say, for 40 years, we've been trying to get a state park near Charlottesville. So we've had this goal for a long time. With this opportunity in front of us, we can't pass it up.
Where's the nearest state park?
It's probably at Lake Anna over in Louisa. When I looked at the map, that's probably the closest
one. Is there water down at Biscuit Run? Is there a lake down there?
There's not a lake.
So it's just hiking trails?
You know, that will be
picnic
determined.
Picnic shelters, hiking trails.
They will
trails.
Have a master planning process that figures out what is going to be in this park, what amenities will be there. And I imagine people, you know, are thinking also on the positive side about tourism. And having a place near Monticello where people can camp and stay in another fashion. So I think the state officials who were involved in this would highlight all of those positive things. On the negative side, county officials have said, hey, we weren't involved in this. We didn't have any say about this. And the state basically came in and grabbed the land. And now we've lost 3.5% of what was our designated growth area. we've lost over 300,000 in annual property tax revenues that we were getting off this land once it was rezoned. Because once it was rezoned, the developer was no longer paying the cheap fare of rural land and land use.
Oh, good point.
Once it was rezoned, they were paying full fare on that property.
Yeah.
And that was part of their carrying cost. So the opportunity
was there. They
wanted
to get out of that fast. You know,
the opportunity was there. And I think the developer would say that they felt like this was a real positive for the community. This is a legacy I think Hunter Craig will want to point to and say, you know, this was a good thing that we did. And a lot of people felt like that property shouldn't have been developed in the first place. Now it's going to be protected.
Yeah, protected by the state with a whole lot of public money as well. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us every Tuesday afternoon. And you can check out this podcast at wina.com for Brian's top 10 growth and development stories of 2009. And next week, let's look at your predictions for the top stories of 2010.
Sounds great, Coy.
Y'all have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.